I saw the problem so closely, it made me feel so ugly. Then suddenly I thought, it's so simple, I can do something for a few people.
Is it you that's special, or do you think people want
to... No, everybody does that unselfish thing. Why are you talking about all this? Is it because you have to do an interview like this? No, because you feel about it. Otherwise, you'll not be spending so much time with me.
সালাম দিও।
তোমার নাম লিওনা, আমার নাম কি? হ্যাঁ বলেন তো, আমার নাম কি? আমার সে জানে আমার নাম।
কোন রং সবচেয়ে বেশি ভালো লাগে?
কোনটা ভালো লাগে? এখানে ভালো লাগে।
Den här mannen som står här på Fryshuset och snackar med min lilla syster Leona på bengaliska, han heter Mohammed Yunus. Och han är den första sedan Martin Luther King att få Nobels fredspris och USAs president och kongressmedalj. Han är också den första gästen i min podcast. Och jag ska berätta mer om honom snart, men först lite kort om mig. Jag heter Leo Razak och jag brukar synas i ganska många olika sammanhang just nu i den här podcasten. Och i den här podcasten så vill jag prata om rätt saker med rätt folk. Det blåser kalla vindar i Sverige och det blåser kalla vindar i Europa. Och jag tror att det är väldigt viktigt att vi fortsätter prata om mångfalden och de utmaningarna som vi står inför idag. Och jag tror ännu viktigare att vi låter människor som representerar mångfalden få komma till tals om deras bedrifter. Om deras utmaningar och kanske också om deras motgångar. För jag tror att det är i motgångarna som man hittar lösningarna på de utmaningarna man behöver ta sig igenom. Både själv och för samhället. Men nu, tillbaks till Yunus.
Very good. She's very good Bangla. Yeah. I thought she could speak a little bit. No, she speaks very good.
Han blev känd över hela världen när han fick Nobels fredspris 2006. Och det fick han för sitt arbete med Grameen Bank som lånar ut pengar till 8,5 miljoner fattiga runt om i världen. Och den här mikrokreditsuppfinningen, den tog Yunus fram. Nu är han på världsturné och försöker sprida sitt legacy som är social business. En affärsmodell som syftar till att mening ska vara större drivkraft än pengar och man ska alltid återinvestera vinsten. Han försöker etablera den här modellen på både företag och universitet runt om i världen. Men mycket mer om social business snart. Men innan jag går vidare så är jag ändå stolt över att kunna presentera att initiativet Hela Sverige för mångfald och tolerans kommer vara den här podcastens huvudsponsor på obestämd framtid. Satsningen som verkar för större mångfald och tolerans grundades av Postkodlotteriet och har fram tills nu letts av Margot Wallström som också är en av våra första gäster i podden. Vi är jätteglada av att ha en så fin bundsförvant i podden. Och om ni vill veta mer om projektet så kan ni surfa in på mångfaldframgång.se och läs mer om vilka andra projekt som Hela Sverige stödjer. Nu, Mohammed Yunus.
Perfect. Okay, good.
Well, see you again.
Good.
Perfect. Last time you were in Stockholm, I saw you at Grand Hotel.
Yes,
I don't
yes.
know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember you. I remember you.
Nice. And now you're here again.
I'm delighted to be here.
Nice. Have you noticed any difference?
Beautiful sun.
And what I was referring to when I meant that have you noticed anything different in Stockholm is the beggars.
Oh, I see. Yes, I heard about it. I don't seen it. But
they are everywhere now. Yeah. You know, at night they sleep under a bridge here called Kungsbron.
I see.
And the bridge is only 200 meters from here.
Uh-huh.
And the Swedish Democrats solution, it's a political party in Sweden who is a bit right wing. They have a solution, and the solution is to call them organized crime. And they have published a political campaign to throw them out. And no one seems to give a damn. Mm. So please, Dr. Yunus. What should we do?
Yeah, no, it's again, if you have a problem, you cut it off and the problem is solved. It's in the way we express in our language. If you have a headache, chop up the head. the problem is over. So it sounds like that. I don't want to be rude to anybody.
But make the bank, you founded Grameen Bank, loans money to about 100,000 beggars, huh?
2.5 million. Sorry, 8.5 million people we lent
totally
money. But in Grameen Bank, 8.5 million people that we lend money to. And we lend out over $1.5 billion in total loan every year to those people. Now, what I'm saying about the beggars, if you can look at them as beggars. In Grameen Bank, we have also loan for beggars. But we tell them, as you go around begging from each person or each house, would you think of something else doing other way, like what? We said, why don't you start selling something to people rather than begging? So you can have two profession. One, begging, won't going to stop it. One, selling. See which one works better. And we'll lend you money to sell the stuff that you want to sell, and try it. So if you try 4 or 5 beggars, quote-unquote beggars, if you look at the boy's life history, probably he was a good carpenter back home, or probably were a good shopper. He is a good shopkeeper. He has a nice shop. Now situation has forced him to leave his country, come here. No options, so he begs. So find out the past history, what he was. He may be a beautiful singer in his own language. He doesn't sing in Swedish language, but he sings a beautiful singer, or an instrumentalist, or whatever. He had a profession.
You believe that everybody has...
Everybody has some skill. That's my point. Don't give up on them.
I want to jump back in time.
Sure.
I want to jump back in time to Bangladesh in the 70s. You were working as a professor in economics at the university when you noticed that a woman in a village in Jobra were lending money, and she couldn't pay her debt because they were lending money to such huge interest rates. And you decided to take money from your own pocket to these 42 women. I think it was $27.
$27 given to 42 persons. Imagine.
Did you really believe that you would get that money back?
I had no idea. That was not my intention at all. My intention is to get them out of the clutches of the loan sharks. If this $27 cut off the link between them and the loan shark, I was very happy. So I said that if you can pay me back, I'll be very happy. So they started paying me back. Then everybody else in the village wants to borrow money from me. So I started taking money from my pocket. It became a very popular thing. And I was so happy that at least these people didn't have to go back to the loan sharks. Then I wanted, my money was running out. I went to the bank to see if bank will lend the money. Bank said, no, we don't want to lend the money to the poor people.
But why you, when the rest of the world didn't want to lend money to poor people? Why you?
Because I believe that it can be done, and I want to try it out. I may be wrong. I said, until I'm proven wrong, I'm right. So let me go and do it. And I put my money, and when a bank didn't agree to come and lend money, I said, I'll be your guarantor. I've signed every single piece of paper you give me. I'll sign. I'll take the responsibility. If none of them has paid back, I'll pay back every penny of it. So what is the problem with you? You cannot argue that, oh, they will not pay back, we're not going to give it. I'm a guarantor. I'll sign every legal document that you give me. That's how I began. I became a guarantor. So I started taking money and giving it to people, and everybody paid back. So I didn't have to pay anything from my own pocket anymore.
But that's what I meant with the question.
I did it.
I mean, you did it. Sure. You did something so much bigger. No,
because I believed in it. When I started microcredit, everybody said it will not work. Everybody said it in such a in the same voice. I said, I may be a failure, but if I fail, I'll try again. I'll not run away. So when I did my microcredit, don't think that everything worked out the way I wanted.
No.
Things went wrong. I took it back. I rearranged it. Did it again. Again, it didn't work. I did it again.
How did you
feel? Finally, I feel good because I'm doing something. I know I have a belief. I have a faith in something, and I wanted to feel that ultimately my faith was right. I could have been a failure, total failure. Nobody would know that somebody tried to do something in a village in Bangladesh. Today, what we did in one village in Bangladesh changed the whole world. To the whole new word has to be coined, microcredit. Those words didn't exist in the dictionary of English language. I didn't know anything about banking. So you cannot say I'm an expert in banking, so I did it. I said my best thing was I didn't know banking. If I knew banking, I would never do this because they will teach me this doesn't work. Since I didn't know banking, I challenged that. So of course it will work. You're not simply doing it. That's why it's not working. Let me do it. So I did it, and it worked. We are born with unlimited potential, unlimited capacity. Simply, our societies are good at blocking it out.
What in our society is blocking it out?
In our education system, in our daily work that we do, in our practice, like in our education system.
But is there structural blocking or is it a mental block?
It's a structure is blocking, and as a result, when you go along the way, your mental block starts working because that's the way you learn.
Action and reaction.
Action and reaction. Because in schools, you are always telling young kids that work hard, get a good grade, get to the best school, and then get the best job. Always a job at the end of everything in the preparation of a young person. I said, why is that? I thought I'm a young entrepreneur.
But sometimes when I hear you, it sounds like you believe that some of the institutions works not for them, citizens against them.
Yes, yes, very much. Look at the banking system. That's what I've been working all my life. Yeah. It doesn't work for poor people. I said, why not? They said, it cannot be done. I said, I did it. Now it works all over the world. What do they say now? It doesn't work. They used to say, poor are not credit worthy. I said, who are you to tell them they're not credit worthy? You give the verdict on people? People should be telling you that you are not people worthy.
I mean, you're like, your legacy will be social business.
Of course. That's and what I'm looking forward to.
You developed the theory.
The whole world,
yeah, and I want to hear you speak about it. What is it?
Social business, you see, everybody knows about the conventional business. Business that everybody runs, everybody works, everybody makes money out of it. All businesses are supposed to be making money. Profit maximization is the mission of business.
Profit.
Profit. So profit has become the goal of everybody's life. And then you think profit is our God. I said, human being is not about worshipping money. Human beings are not about spending all his life chasing money and getting addicted to money. I said, human life is not about being a robot. I said, human being is much bigger than money, much bigger than what we have been doing all along, what the theory is telling us to be. So I'm bringing back the selfless part in us. I said, I can create another kind of business based on selflessness. I can create a business to help others rather than make money myself.
Could you give a listener an example of one business idea that you founded that you believe has been successful?
I'll give an example. For example, there are lots of people in Bangladesh with cataract problem of the eyes. And people think that, well, if you grow old, you see less. They don't realize that it can be cured. And there is not enough capacity in Bangladesh to treat everybody and get the cataract operated. So what we did, we created a hospital in the village. It does about 10,000 cataract operations per year. That's the capacity of the hospital. And we run it, and we charge fees for the people who can pay. And we cross-subsidize people who cannot pay so that everybody is treated, nobody is rejected. In the end, it covers all the cost. The first hospital that we created came to break-even point in 4 years. Then we created the second hospital in another part of the country. It came to the break-even point in 3 years. So we created a third hospital, another part of the country. So now it's working. It's still not come to the break-even point, but it's started earning. Then we are constructing the fourth hospital. In social business, you cover all your costs, number one, and then you get your money back, whatever money you invested. After you get your invested money back, you don't take any profit. Profit stays with the company and continues. Now, all these four hospitals, when they start paying back, we have enough money every year to build a fifth hospital. And five hospitals paying back, you have the sixth hospital. So it's a self-expanding system.
I think you have a very innovative thought about in the future. You see separate stock markets for social business, mm-hmm, where profit is forbidden, and that we will watch reality shows about social
Absolutely.
Business ideas.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Could you give me something
yes, indeed.
About that?
Yes, indeed. I'm saying that you can have a reality show, you can have a television show on designing social business. We do it in Bangladesh. We do it every month. and we put it on the live streaming so that you can watch it from Sweden. Also, many people from 70 to 80 countries, they watch
it. What's the website?
It is called www.socialbusinesspedia. One word, socialbusinesspedia. So you go there, you can have the connections and you can watch it live streaming. So we are financing them. When immediately investors come forward, they will invest in the social business. And then social business starts happening. So you can put it on a television show. It's a very interesting television show, like American Idol. Then the best will come back next month, the next episode, and show what he has done so far. And everybody will look at it and say, oh, great, I would like to invest in your company if you want to go bigger and bigger. Involve everybody. Address the creative parts of human being, particularly creative parts of young people today is unlimited amount of creative power is just blocked into themselves.
I'm wondering, has the revolution started?
It's taking roots in many countries. We work, we have social business fund, we have this design labs in Albania, we have design labs in Brazil, in Colombia, in India, in Bangladesh, in Tunisia, in Uganda, in Albania. So many countries we are doing that. And there are programs coming up in Germany, in France. Already social business has been created. UK is just beginning to do that. So there's many, and we're hoping that Sweden will also do that. If Sweden can address this issue.
What can we do?
Creating that amount of money together is very important. Then people say, okay, we have the money. So let's now come up with ideas. If without that money, we say, come up with the ideas, we'll find the money, people say, oh, they will not get the money. Why waste our time? So if you have the money there, and then they become interested, they line up, here's a great idea. I can solve the problem of 20 beggars on the street. Tell me, this is my plan, this is my business, and I'll do that. And people around, they'll say, okay, that sounds like good. How much money you're looking for? Maybe 50,000 euro or 20,000 euro. And I'll start that, and it will be self-supporting. You'll get your money back. Mm. And it will keep running, and I can expand it to 20, to 30, to 40 other beggars and so on. That's a simple thing.
I mean, I believe that you have the idea of people who have more money should also pay maybe a little bit more than people who have less.
Yeah.
But in Sweden, it's like people see that that's discrimination. Everybody should be treated equal.
No, I'm not charging you unnecessary money. I'm charging you what market. You can go anywhere. I'm not forcing you to pay me. You can go to other hospitals. There are other hospitals you can pay. Probably you'll pay more. So you come to me because I give you better service. It's my decision. It's I'm doing it. I'm not deprived you. I treat you and I give you all the options. There are other hospitals you can go there. I don't think anybody can punish me for that.
And then one other thing. You know, Sweden is one of the countries that had invest most money into humanitarian aid. And do you think we should redirect more of SIDA's funds to social business projects?
Yes, I think so. That's what I've been arguing with all the bilateral donors and also multilateral donors. The simple thing that Sweden gives this money through SIDA to another country is grant. Money goes out, good things are done, but that money doesn't come back to anybody, neither to the government there, nor the government here in Sweden. I'm saying, can you take part of this money, if not the full of this money, and put it in the social business fund in that country and ask anybody that if you have a great idea to solve a problem in a business way, we'll invest in your company.
What reactions do you get from SIDA?
Well, they listen. They want to examine that, but we have not
Do we have an infrastructure today?
If not yet. I have not seen that, but I'm sure gradually people, they agree with me. They don't disagree with me. But sometimes government institutions are within a framework of rules and regulations and so on. So they need a little time to change in the direction that we are talking about.
You still have a bit of diplomacy in you.
Well, I see their point also. I'm not saying that they can overnight do that. But they are sympathetic. They see what I'm doing. They have great admiration of the work that is being done as a social business. So I'm not saying that they're blind to that.
No.
But I hope we'll find a way. And I keep asking, maybe we can do in 2-3 countries in an experimental way. Find out whether it works or not.
Hi, Professor.
Hi, hello.
Where do we meet?
Hi, meet
hi.
Again.
Hi, how are you?
Så plötsligt blev vi avbrutna av några kompisar till Jonas. Innan vi fortsätter måste jag berätta historien om matematikens gudfader, Archimedes, och den romerska generalen Marcellus. Archimedes bad Marcellus att inte störa hans studiecirkel. Som konsekvens blev han slaktad av romerska soldater. När Mohammed Yunus bad Bangladesh premiärminister att inte röra Grameen Bank, hans livsverk, så valde Sheikh Hasina att förstatliga hela banken. Men nu fortsätter vi intervju.
Officially, what's your status at Grameen right now?
Officially, I'm not holding a position.
No. There is an argument between you and the Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina, and it's been described as a reply of the conflict between the father of mathematics, Archimedes, and the Roman general Marcellus. Are you familiar with that story?
Yes, I am familiar.
What do you think about that?
Well, you saw what happened, so you can make your own judgment. Don't let me.
Well, you see at my smile that I want your comment.
Similar to that, something like that, yeah.
And I also read the word hingsa in the Times of India.
That's right, yes.
And it means jealousy.
Jealousy. These are the kind of words used for the kind of relationship that we have right now.
At the end of it, I must ask you, you know, how did it feel to get that call?
I didn't believe it. I thought somebody making a joke. Maybe my friends are pulling my leg or something. Are you sure from calling me from Oslo? Yes, he said, listen to the announcement. Soon it will be announcement. And I'll hold the microphone in front of the announcement. So he listens. Then I listen to Norwegian language. They're saying something. I said, no, this is... Oh, there's nothing there. Suddenly says, Mohammed Yunus, Grameen Bank. Oh, my God, that's me. And then everybody starts calling. Every telephone was ringing all around me. Everybody's rushing to congratulate me. In 10, 20 minutes, everybody's around my house. There's a big crowd waiting, big crowd of media people. All the cameras are waiting. So that is a fantastic experience for any human being.
From impossible to possible.
Impossible to the possible, yes, indeed. It's a long journey.
When you leave us, when you leave this planet,
yes.
How do you think people will describe you?
Well, it depends. Whatever I'm saying, whether it makes sense to them, whether we have made concrete examples of out of them. If it works, if somebody can stand up in Stockholm and say, "I'll do this the beggars program," he said it. I'll take 20 beggars out of the street and give them decent life. They will enjoy themselves. They will form their own community to attract other beggars, and its example is established. Then this thing will snowball. And the day we created this Grameen Bank and started doing that, I said, with this demonstration, what we do in Bangladesh, banking has to be different from now on.
How does it feel to know that you have created something that changed the world?
It feels good. It feels good. And it feels also, what I have to say, it's so simple to do it. It's not something people have to be smart, people have to have lots of ideas. It's a simple thing. And you started in a simple way. It's not a complicated way. When I was explaining how microcredit began, it's simply I just took the money from my pocket and gave the money to them. Said, you don't go to the loan shark, come to me, I'll give you the one, more reasonable one. You can take this. And everybody loved that. So there was not a complicated thing. It's a simple action. Everything. Now I'm talking about social business. That's a simple thing too.
You make it feel so simple. Maybe it is.
It is simple. Our minds have been trained to think in a complicated way. So everything we wanted to see the complicated way. And we get lost in that complication. Our mind has have lost the capacity to see simple thing in a simple way. So we moved away from the reality. Reality is always simple. Nature is not complicated. We are making it complicated through the arrogance of our knowledge, arrogance of our power that we all see. I can say things which you don't understand. You are stupid. I'm smart.
I've met a lot of people who has visions, but I think you stand out most. And I often feel like visionaries or entrepreneurs or people who have big thoughts somehow, even before their own journey started, knew somehow that where they were headed. Do you have like an inner compass?
No, I didn't have that feeling that I have inner compass or anything. I would say that I saw the problem so closely, it made me feel so ugly that such a problem exists right in front of me and I cannot do anything about it. Then suddenly I thought, it's so simple, I can do something for few people, right in this village, it's easy. I cannot do the whole world, but for these few people, I can do that. They are the victims of loan shark. If I lend the money to them, they don't have to go to the loan sharks. Problem is solved. But that's the idea. So I was not thinking about global solutions.
But it's so unselfish. Is it you that's special, or do you think people
want to... No, everybody does that unselfish thing. Why are you talking about all this? Is it because you have to do an interview like this? No, because you feel about it. Otherwise, you'll not be spending so much time with me.
Yeah.
You feel about it. That's you are concerned. People have concerns. And we feel concerned when we see the beggars under the bridge, or a homeless person trying to spend a night in a very cold night sitting there. How could that happen in a country like Sweden? Bangladesh, we understand. It's been there for many, many ages. But here, in front of us, we never saw before. So that hits people. It's not something that, oh, you're a generous person, we are a different person. It's not like that. We are a human being. We are all integrated. We are all interconnected with each other. Not everybody is made out in the beginning to do something. Somebody take action right away. So that's it. When you see somebody taking action that you wanted to do, then you join in.
What would you say give meaning?
For example, they say, what are the other incentives? I said, making money is an incentive. It makes me happy. It makes anybody happy. So I chase happiness by making money. I say, making people, other people happy is not only happiness, it's a super happiness. So that's a great incentive. But you have to do that to find out. If what you have not done before, you would not never know. Then you have choices, whether you'll be happy by making money or you'll be happy by making other people happy. Then you make a choice. What kind of choices you can make? You can specialize in one of the two. You make money and you get happy, or you make other people happy and you become more happy. Or combine this. A part of me doing money-making business and make me happy, and part of me making social business again make me happy. A combined happiness is a great happiness for me. Either way, it's up to you. It's a choice.